Hi, this is Lori, your host of Happiness Hangout, a space to come and elevate your happiness levels. You, me, and our guests will discuss and help you apply happiness to all aspects of your life, even if you're already happy. Get your daily boost of information to help you feel your best. Well, hi, everyone. This is Lori Peters, your host at the Happiness Hangout, a place and space to help you feel your best. Excited to be talking about health and happiness over our next few shows. And today we have Dr. Véronique Desaunier. How did I do, Dr. V?
You did great, Lori.
Okay. And we're going to call her Dr. V from now on. And I'd like to tell you just a little bit about her and what we're going to be talking about today. Dr. Véronique Desaunier, known as Dr. V, has maintained successful practices in the wellness field since 1979. She is the number one best-selling author and has a number one best-selling book on Amazon called Heal Breast Cancer Naturally. Because of her passion for health and wellness, Dr. V undertook extensive studies in various fields of energy medicine, specializing in chiropractic, bioenergetics, meridian stress analysis, homeopathy, and digital thermography. Dr. V brings a unique approach to health and wellness. And after 30 years in active practice, she decided to retire and devote her time sharing her personal, non-toxic healing journey with breast cancer. Her years of experience and research have culminated as the Seven Essentials, a step-by-step coaching program. Dr. V, welcome to the Happiness Hangout.
Thank you so much for having me, Lori. I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, so glad you're here. I mean, especially, you know, we're going to talk about various health-related topics over a few of my shows. And I really wanted to have you on. You know, breast cancer, I don't know if the stats have changed, but affect 1 in 8 women. And interestingly enough, my sorority, which I have been a national officer on and on our national executive board and have held many positions, our national philanthropy is breast cancer research and education. And so obviously these have been things I've been learning about and having, you know, in my life as we go and look for the cure. For this and hearing ways that people can do that, different ways people can do that is so very important to not just women around the world, but men get it too. And men have many women in their lives that, you know, that they want this cure and everybody wants this cure. So I'm so happy to have you and kind of want to talk just a little bit about your background. I mean, you know, you had your issues with breast cancer, but how did you end up getting into medicine? Tell us a little bit about your story.
Well, I guess my story started when I was 16 years old. I remember sitting in the office of my chiropractor at the time, and he was preaching about, you know, a better way of life and, you know, no sugar and using honey instead of sugar and whole wheat instead of white flour and chiropractic and positive attitude. And it was just one of those light bulb moments where I said, this is what I want to do. So I became a chiropractor by profession, and I graduated in 1979 in Georgia. And I was busy bringing wellness to the world in my practice. I really loved what I did. And then in 1983, my father was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And I had discussions with the doctors, and basically they gave him no hope, and they sent him home to die, which he did in about 6 weeks. And during that time, I was so devastated, first of all, because we know pancreatic cancer was very aggressive. But, there was nothing that they could do. They gave him nothing to hang on to. So I started doing my own research. You know, in 1983, no internet, so I went to the library and called different natural healing clinics, cancer clinics. Back then, they were few and far between. And I came to realize that there was something that could have been done for my father, but, you know, for him, it was too late. So that really sparked something inside of me that I felt like this information needed to be taught. So I started applying these principles in my practice and was seeing things like cancer and MS and rheumatoid arthritis and, all kinds of autoimmune diseases reversing themselves because people were now applying you know, the laws of nature, and they were changing their lifestyles. They were taking responsibility for their health, and they were following specific herbal and homeopathic protocols, and they were getting better. So, you know, that really was, you know, my I guess the door that opened this whole cancer issue with me, because it just made me realize that, you know, cancer is just a symptom. It's not really the cause. It's just your body telling you that there's something really out of balance.
And I think that's probably true with most physical ailments, I would think.
Absolutely. And you look at the word disease, if you break it up, it means dis-ease. Your body's not at ease. And we all know that when there's dis-ease in the body, it's because of, you know, environmental and lifestyle habits. You know, we know that. And even, you know, modern medicine is agreeing with us finally after, you know, 30-some years.
You know, it's interesting, a couple of things. One is I was just reading that honey and cinnamon is supposed to be so good for you for so many different things. And my dad always took honey, and then he became allergic to it. But if you knew my dad, it's just sort of typical for him. I mean, he had a lot of other things going on that put his life in the position where it was, and that wasn't always great. But honey is supposed to be so good, and cinnamon as well, and together. So I'm interested in learning more about that myself. And the other thing that came to mind is stress. You know, I made a major life change, very scary. And I have never been happier in my life. And having the happiness hangout, what I do with it, I use that term for many things I do with it. It's just amazing when you can de-stress what it does. I've had a lot of shows on stress for different things. Mm-hmm. And I really, truly believe, I mean, it is the I don't want to use the death of us, but this stress level and what we do, you know, I haven't visited South America or around the world, but in North America, it sure seems like we put a lot of pressure on ourselves, and that stress is causing us major disease and damage.
Absolutely. I mean, stress is the leading cause of all major illnesses, whether it's heart attacks or cancer or diabetes. It all starts with your body's adaptive reaction to stress, and when you put that stress on, then you're blocking your immune system, you're creating a lot of unhealthy hormones to be secreted, and you know your body gives out.
Right, and you know I'm very thankful and appreciative of telling us a little bit about your dad. And I know you also have a personal journey that you went on with disease that I read about a little bit. Could you share a little bit about that journey with our listeners?
Sure. 2004. By this time I'd been in practice for about 25 years, and I was in the shower getting ready, doing, you know, a typical breast exam in the shower, and I felt a lump. And I knew from that very moment, it was just that pit in my stomach, I just knew that it was not a benign cyst, I just knew that it was cancer. So had it confirmed with non-traditional methods, I did not have a biopsy or mammogram, but I then went on a journey for 2 years, and, you know, the thing that was always gnawing at me was, you know, here I was, Dr. V, helping all these people get well, reversing cancer and all these other diseases, and yet here I am with cancer myself. So the question was, you know, what have I missed? I mean, I did everything right, or so I thought. I ate organic before organic was in style, and had home births, breastfed my children, exercise, chiropractic care, massage, supplements, herbs, you know, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And yet I developed cancer. And so as I went down that rabbit hole of research and wondering why I developed cancer, I recognized that there were some pieces of the puzzle that I had missed. And that's what led me to create what I call the seven essentials, you know, seven basic steps that if you follow, you never have to fear cancer or any disease for that matter. And each of those steps are very important, and we could spend a whole hour or a whole day on each of those steps, but I'm sure we'll get into that in just a few minutes. But that's what happened to me. So 2006, I was declared cancer-free and have been ever since.
Wow, that is amazing. It has been such a, talk about a journey for so many people. And what I'm listening to you and what you did for yourself was so good. I mean, that there are things that we're missing. You know, it shouldn't scare us, because then we get scared and then we get stressed. We just create the big circle there of of pain we cause ourselves. But that's really scary to know when you think you're doing everything right. And, you know, and not to get too technical here, but a question comes to mind is, you know, how much of this disease is just in our genes? You know, I guess I would think part of it has to be, you know, what we're born with, or is that not true?
Well, that's a very good question. And interestingly, we now know that our DNA is not our destiny. In fact, less than 5% of cancers are actually genetic or passed on. And they're realizing that 90 to 95% of cancers are environmental and lifestyle. So that's pretty big. And we now know through the, you know, the science of epigenetics, that means basically studying the genes, and nutrigenomics, which is looking at the nutrition in food and how that food affects our genes. And they're realizing that we can actually change our gene expression by our stress, our sleep, our lifestyle, our foods. And, you know, so we have a large measure of control over our health.
That's great news.
It is. You know, simple things that you can do. For example, if you don't get the right amount of sleep, that can actually turn off your cancer protective genes. If you have too much stress, that can turn on your cancer genes. If you eat too much sugar or, you know, bad food, that can turn on those cancer genes. So there's simple things that you can do by making sure that you're eating well. Simple things like curcumin and broccoli sprouts. I mean, those cruciferous vegetables, those things turn on those cancer protective genes and anti-inflammatory genes.
And it seems like we're kind of stepping into maybe the seven natural essentials. I mean, would you like to get into that a little bit more?
Sure. And stop me as I'm talking if you have any questions, because I can get on a roll.
That's great. Wonderful.
So essential number one is basically let food be your medicine. We know that if we look at food as a prescription for our health, it's going to affect us. The problem is the standard American diet, or the SAD diet, basically has led to all kinds of diseases. And we know through studies that if you eat, healthy oils and fruits and vegetables every week, that it reduces your breast cancer risk by up to 73%. We know that cancer loves acidic food, and so if you're eating typical standard American diet, you're filling your body with lots of acidity versus a more alkaline diet. Alkaline foods like green vegetables and certain fruits and lots of water and, you know, eliminating dairy products and meats, all those things that are very acidic, those things can turn on those cancer genes. When it comes to food, you know, make sure that you're getting plenty of the healthy oils like the avocado, coconut oil, flaxseed oil, fish oils. Those are very beneficial. Fermented foods, making sure you're getting plenty of probiotics. Lots of raw foods. You know, don't cook everything that you eat.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that essential number one is very, very foundational. And there's so much that we can say about it, but that's kind of it in a nutshell.
We sure struggle. You know, I can't help. I mean, we just got through the holidays, and I had a little bit of an epiphany. I was going to start making some changes after holidays are over, but some things happen, and I started ahead of time. And, oh, my gosh. I mean, the way that you feel, not just about the way you look, the way that you feel, and then we talk about, obviously, disease, you know, here. It's so bad for you, but gosh, I mean, it's the cookies. There's just so much during this time. I hate to say I'm almost glad it's over, but I love salad. I've eaten salad every day, and I like, you know, the darker or the deeper in color the vegetable, often the more nutrients it can have in it. Is that true?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, the there's different colors, and they all have their benefits, but the deep green leafy vegetables are and the cruciferous are very important.
Because I'll tell you, it is tough. I mean, we have a lot of wonderful restaurants, and there's I don't believe you should torture yourself and not enjoy things. At the same time, it should be the not the norm, just the okay, you know, this is the time that I'm going to go off and have this thing that I really want. But you've really got to change, because what we're breathing and what we're eating, I mean, without even any research at my fingertips, I know that it's causing all this. I mean, years and years and years ago, it wasn't this way with cancer, and it has become rampant. And it's got to be what we're breathing, what we're eating, what we're our environment.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. Which, speaking of environment, that's the next essential, is to reduce your toxic exposure. Mm-hmm. We can't live in a bubble, but we can certainly do things to reduce our toxic exposure. We know that environmental toxins like pesticides, herbicides, plastics, you know, all those things increase the false estrogens in the body. And that can, you know, that just leads to a lot of burden on the liver, and that can increase your risk for breast cancer. All the toxins in tap water, even if you bathe in them, you know, there's just so many chemicals that we're exposed to. But you know, look at what's in your home. You know, the average household has over 1,000 chemicals in it, just from cleaners and sprays and, you know, candles and all kinds of things. So just starting there in your home can make a big difference. Try to eat organic foods. You know, watch what you put on your skin, because what you put on your skin ends up directly into your bloodstream. And so things like, you know, lotions and potions. I mean, the average person is exposed to 167 chemicals just from their personal care products. Antiperspirants, you know, antiperspirants block the pores in your armpit where you're supposed to sweat, and it also adds a lot of aluminum and a lot of other chemicals which have been shown to stimulate estrogen and cause breast cancer. And so, you know, just look at what you're doing to your body. Another thing that people don't really talk about too much is EMF, you know, electromagnetic frequencies from cell phones. I mean, that's a huge problem. We're bombarded by that. And according to some studies, one of them is the Bioinitiative Report, 29 independent scientists from all over the world looked at 10 years of data, and their conclusion was, you know, it causes DNA damage and cancers and sleep problems and fertility, reproductive disorders, disrupts your immune system. And, you know, so just be aware, you know, don't sleep with your cell phone by your pillow. Don't hold your cell phone in your bra, because that can cause cancer in the breast. So there's, you know, things. Just become aware and try to reduce your toxic exposure in little things like that.
Well, just something small. When you talk about antiperspirant, is anyone making antiperspirants that are better for you in that regard?
Oh, there's plenty of natural deodorants. I mean, they're not antiperspirants because you're supposed to perspire. So yes, there's plenty of natural deodorants that you can wear. But the thing is, when you're healthy on the inside, you're not going to secrete, you know, smelly substances. I mean, I haven't worn deodorant in probably 5 years. So, you know, you really don't need deodorant if your body's staying clean on the inside.
Oh, that's amazing. I didn't know that. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, yeah.
My goodness. So there's so much here. So, you know, it may be better to use those candles that they're more expensive, but the ones that are battery operated instead of the regular candles.
Or you can get candles that are made with soy wax or coconut or palm oil, and they use essential oils instead of the, the artificial fragrance.
So olive oil, not good.
Olive oil is good to eat on salads and raw, but you don't want to cook with olive oil.
I see. Oh, wow. Well, when you think about what's in your house, that's amazing. Over 150 toxins that we're exposed to every day. So kind of just look around, and do regular stores sell these things that we can use often in place of what we have to clean and ourselves and our homes.
Absolutely. Go to a regular grocery store like Kroger or Publix and you'll find more organic, biodegradable, non-toxic soaps and cleaners, you know, dish soaps, that sort of thing. So it's definitely more available than it was 30 years ago.
Good. Good to know.
All right. Essential number three is to balance your energy. We are energetic beings. We're only one billionth physical matter. The rest of us is all energy. And so making sure that your energy stays balanced. Chiropractic care, that's extremely important because it balances your master computer, your brain, and your spine. And if that's not working properly, then the rest of you won't work properly as well. People under chiropractic care have a 300% greater immune competence than those who don't. So it's very important to make sure that your spine is properly aligned and your nervous system is aligned. Making sure you're getting balanced sleep. Making sure that you're exercising. According to the National Cancer Institute, 25 to 40 minutes per day of walking greatly reduced your cancer risk just by doing some walking. Making sure that your hormones are balanced. Your hormones are messengers and they communicate many important things to the rest of your body, but you don't want to have too much of certain hormones or not enough of the others. And so there's simple ways to test that through saliva testing to make sure that your hormones are properly balanced.
Mm-hmm. And that's interesting because I'll tell you what, having a dog, that really does help with the walking situation because,
yes.
You know, I made a commitment to her that, you know, I would take care of her. And that means walking twice a day. Well, it was 15 degrees this morning in beautiful Cleveland, Ohio. We are finally getting our cold. We haven't had it. We've had a beautiful fall and early winter. But having to do that really gets you out there because I know it's just something I love to do with her. And it's something that I made a commitment to do. So, you know, well, there's lots of good reasons to have pets. That's just one of the many that it could do for your health, I know. But it's a great way to be out there, minimum 25 minutes. I mean, I'm usually out 60 minutes a day.
Wow, that's great. Yeah.
But I need more than that. I mean, I have to begin more than just walking. I need to run, which isn't my favorite thing. Jog, not my favorite. Some people love it, some people hate it. But whatever it is that you enjoy, you got to find that thing, I think, for exercise, because then you dread it and won't do it. I actually went out and my fiance and I got badminton because we think it's fun. And we got glow-in-the-dark badminton, if you can believe that. So we can, because it gets dark so early and it's, you know, you can play it even with a little bit of snow on the ground. So we did that because we know it's something that I'll go outside and do. Just little things, you know, that you have to figure. You've got to figure out how you can do it for a lifetime. That's the struggle I've always had with certain. Some things I'm great at, others I'm not, like most people. But you've got to find something you really like that's good for you or you're not going to do it.
Yeah, that's very true.
And it's funny, I'm experimenting with peanut butter right now. I love peanut butter. It fills me up. So I'm trying natural peanut butters for the first time. I really want to find one that's very natural because of I love it. It fills me up. It's going to be good for me for a lifetime. I don't know that I found it yet, but I'm working on it. You know, things of that nature.
Yeah. If you just head to a good natural market or something like Whole Foods, they'll have organic peanut butter that you can eat, or peanut butter I'm not really fond of because it has a lot of mycotoxins from funguses. So things like almond butter or cashew butter, I mean, it's the same thing. It's just made with almonds. It's healthier for you.
Didn't realize. That's good to know. And they make that thick as well.
Oh, yeah.
Almond butter.
Good old peanut butter.
Oh, that sounds great. Okay, well, I'll make sure I check that out. Thank you.
Okay. All right, essential number four, now this is one that you could relate to with the happiness show, is healing the emotional wounds. And we know that our emotions have a huge impact on our health. There's a connection between, you know, it's called psychoneuroimmunology, where your immune system and your DNA actually respond to your thoughts. There's a part in the brain called the limbic center of the brain, and it's the emotional center of the brain, and it's very closely tied in to other glands that affect your hormones and affect your immune system and affect your nerve system. And so studies have shown that if we think dark, gloomy thoughts, it can really impact our immune system by suppressing it. It can even affect our DNA. There was an interesting study done at the Heart Math Institute where they had 20 different scientists project feelings of anger and guilt and resentment, you know, just dark, dark, angry feelings towards these strands of DNA that were in petri dishes. And they analyzed them, and they noticed that the DNA strands were much tighter and shorter and contracted. And then they took those same DNAs and did the opposite. They projected love and peace and happiness and joy, and the DNAs actually expanded and were, you know, much healthier and kind of unwound more. And so, there's so much proof out there that your beliefs really govern your living experience. So my big thing is to really learn to make happiness your normal. Recognize that cancer is just a message of love. You know, your body's been trying to talk to you, getting a message to you for years, and now it has your attention. So if you know, it's a sign for you to start doing things differently, because if you keep doing the things you've always done, you'll get the same results. And so, you know, take the time to do things that make you happy. Meditate, journal. There's a different branch of psychology now called energy psychology, which actually connects the mind and the body together to help it heal faster. Things like EFT, emotional freedom technique. Mm-hmm. So there's lots that you can do to really, you know, change those beliefs that have kept you captive for so many years.
And I think we're just touching the surface of so much of this. You know, as they say, the mind-body connection, there's so much we haven't learned, and just doing this show brings that, you know, to me. I'm very lucky personally to be able to do it, and you learn so much. And really, there are a lot of ways to get to that place. You just have to figure out, you know, what you connect with, mm-hmm. To make you, you know, to make, because you're not going to feel jubilant all the time. What you feel is a sense of calmness, a sense of everything's going to be okay. I've got this. Mm-hmm. No matter what, you have to know, no matter what happens, that you've got this, you can do this no matter what it is. And I think if you just really know that that's what life is, it's just a learning process and it's a journey of learning, mm-hmm. that, you know, you're okay. Because I, for years, did not believe I was going to be okay. Really had a lot of epiphanies and a lot of ahas and a lot of learning to do. And it's such a big area. And this connects a lot with stress as well. I mean, things that I used to stress about, I'll literally, Dr. V, stop myself. I'll feel that thing come over me. I'll stop it immediately. Whatever, that thing I feel when I'm about to go into that disarray state and go, wait a minute, is this really a big deal? And I go, oh my God, it really is not a big deal at all. This is nothing, mm-hmm. you know? And then the stress stops immediately. But I've had to practice that. I've chosen to practice that for years. And I think whatever it is you need to do, the readings, research, whether you do it through creativity and art, I don't care how you do it, but you've really got to, I think people have to get to that place of calmness and taking that stress level down and taking the deep breath and telling people in their lives, I'm not going to do all the things that I used to do. And geez, we have show after show after show of things relating to this. But what you're saying here is my big, the path I walk down. This is the area I really concentrate on. And it has just been life-changing. So I'm glad it's included. And I don't know how it wouldn't be. But so life-changing when you can just get in there and find some peace for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It makes life much more enjoyable to live it in a happy space than just to be gray and grumpy all the time.
Right, and we know people like that who they get something out of it. They live it because that's how they were taught, or that is how what they saw. You know, I had the philosophy growing up of work first, play later. We did play good, but it was always, you better work hard or you're not going to get anything. What wasn't realized by family is, how about work smart? How about there are ways you can do this? Like, to me, working hard on what I do with the Happiness Hangout and the many things I do with it isn't even work to me. I mean, I can look at the clock 3 hours later, which we know in happiness research says, if you're doing something and looking at the clock three hours later, you're probably engaged, and engagement is one of the things you need for well-being. And so when your work is like that, it's not really work. So our definitions have changed. The way we look at things have changed over the years.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Interesting stuff, but very, very needed, along with, the other things that you're saying. So where are we? Are we at number five?
We're at number five. So that's embrace biological dentistry. And some people don't know what biological dentistry is. And it basically is a form of dentistry that recognizes that your teeth are living entities and they're connected to every part of your body. So what you put in your teeth is going to affect the rest of your body and your health. So, for example, silver fillings, they're not silver at all, but they're amalgams of different metals, and 50%, and they're 50% mercury. Mercury is the most toxic element on the planet, and so when you have it in your mouth, it can release toxic mercury vapors. If you don't believe me, you can go to YouTube and look up smoking teeth, and you'll see a sample of a dentist scrubbing an amalgam filling on a tooth, and you'll see the mercury vapors rising from that tooth.
Ugh.
Mercury fillings are extremely toxic. Then you look at root canals. Root canals are basically a dead organ. It's like having a dead appendix or a dead gallbladder in your body. No matter how aseptic they try to make it, it's very, very toxic. It has a pocket of very toxic bacteria that leaches toxins into the body and affects your immune system. So from a chemical point of view, the fillings and the root canals are dangerous. But then from an energetic point of view, your teeth are connected to your organs through the acupuncture meridian system. So the fourth and fifth teeth for up and down for women and men too, it affects the breath. So if there's a root canal or an amalgam there, that can affect the flow, the energy flow of that organ and compromise it. And that can also lead to dis-ease and less energy flow in that area. So make sure that if you have those situations in your mouth, that you check with a biological dentist, a certified biological dentist that specializes in removing those things in a way that's very safe.
Yes, when you say fourth and fifth teeth, starting from the back, coming front,
starting from the front, yeah, so your front two teeth, and you count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. On the top, it's 4, 5, 6, 7. Actually, on the bottom, it's 4, 5.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, because I find most dentists that I've gone to, and I've had one for several years now, they've pulled those out and put in the, I don't know even what the material is they use, but it's pure white. You can't see. They've pulled out those old fillings and put in the ones that are clear, they're white. I don't know if there's any toxins in those, but I've had all mine done and never a root canal at this point. But are those, do you know if those other ones that they're putting in are okay as well?
Well, it depends on the material. Unfortunately, some of them may have BPA in them, which is a plastic resin that can increase estrogen levels in the body. So it really depends. There's different types, so you'd have to know what kind they put in there.
I see. Well, that's very interesting to know. And when you think about it, I guess your teeth are really, the health of your teeth show the health of you. I've always heard that.
Oh, for sure, because you can have inflammation in the gums with all kinds of unhealthy bacteria in there, and that can lead to inflammation in the rest of your body, and inflammation leads to cancer. So, it's just another added stress.
Interesting. Great.
All right, so essential number six is to repair your body with therapeutic plants. Now, this is an area where I always tell people, don't take my word for it. If you, don't believe me, just make sure that you go to the National Library of Medicine. That's pubmed.org, P-U-B-M-E-D.org. And just put in the search bar, vitamin C in cancer, you know, curcumin in cancer. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of studies. There's like thousands of publications on evidence-based, what I call tumor terminators, things that will actually kill cancer but not kill the healthy cells in your body. I'll just name a few examples. For example, bloodroot. Bloodroot is an herb that has a specific plant chemical in it that causes death to cancer cells, but it doesn't affect your healthy cells and even boosts your immune system. Taking high doses of enzymes, since cancer cells are coated in a thick protein layer, you know, 17 layers of protein, when you take high doses of enzymes, they act like little Pac-Men and they eat away at that protein layer and weaken the cancer cell and make it more vulnerable to the immune system. There's something as simple as curcumin. There are 200 studies specifically on breast cancer alone, and it shows how it stops the spread of cancer, it kills cancer cells, increases your survival rate. Even with chemo-resistant cancers, they found that curcumin is very beneficial. Apricot seeds, you know, apricot seeds have a sugar-based cyanide in them, and when you eat the apricot seeds, cancer cells cannot break down that cyanide. Our healthy cells have an enzyme that breaks it down, and it's non-toxic to us, but to cancer cells, it's toxic. So, you know, the list goes on and on. I mean, spirulina, medical marijuana, which has, you know, cannabis oils and THC in it, has been shown to stop cancer dead in its track. So there's, you know, so many things. And for prevention, just make sure there's a couple of things that are so important. Vitamin D levels. Just making sure that your vitamin D levels are between 80 and 100 ng per ml. That can reduce your breast cancer risk by 75%. Just having
your
vitamin D levels up. Yeah, it's really high. And I find when I work with women that the majority of them have very low vitamin D levels. And it's a crime that their oncologist is not telling them that, because the latest research shows us, and this is, you know, 25-year studies that have proven that, you know, vitamin D is so beneficial when it comes to preventing and healing cancer.
Wow. And, you know, I've just been thinking, you know, with the sun, us having lack of sun here for the next few months, that I need to go out and get more vitamin D. And that really, that pushes me over the edge. I think we all need to do that no matter where we live, but particularly for those of us who don't see the sun for a while.
Absolutely. In the north, yes, you definitely need to get your vitamin D levels tested and supplement with vitamin D.
Great. And we have number seven, or was that number seven?
That's right. Number seven has to do with very early detection. Now, the you know, when you look at the typical, you know, pink movement and, you know, run for the cure and all that, they're really pushing the use of mammograms. Well, again, a 25-year Canadian study that was just published in February of 2014 showed beyond a shadow of a doubt that mammograms have not decreased breast mortality rates at all. In fact, they found that a self-breast exam is just as effective in finding a cancer as a mammogram. So that's a 25-year study with, I think it was like 90,000 women. So that's some pretty good information and evidence there. Mm-hmm. When you look at the effects of a mammogram with the amount of radiation that the woman gets, year after year, compression after compression, that can't be healthy for your breast. I mean, we know radiation causes cancer, so why would you have your breast radiated all the time? I'm not saying don't get a mammogram, because some women certainly have discovered, a tumor with a mammogram. However, according to the American Cancer Society, it takes 5 to 8 years for a tumor to show up on a mammogram. So what if you had very early detection, where you could detect cancer when it's the size of a pinhead? And fortunately, we have that technology. So one of the things that we can look at is thermography. Thermography is basically a camera that reads the infrared heat that's coming off the body, And whenever there's physiological changes in the breast, such as a tumor or cancer, you're going to see additional blood flow to that area because the tumor is going to create angiogenesis or increased blood flow. That's going to show up red hot on the thermogram. It's going to be visible. Now, can we diagnose cancer with a thermogram? Absolutely not. But we can say, wow, there's, you know, physiological changes going on, and we need to take a closer look. Another thing that you can do is to look at specific blood tests. For example, there's blood tests that will look at enzymes that cancer cells produce. And if you can detect those in the blood, then you know there's cancer going on. You can look at circulating tumor cells to see if there's cancer. There's a test called an oncoblot test that can detect cancer, 27 different types of cancer, with a single blood test. It can tell you if you have cancer and where, years before it shows up on an X-ray or a scan or something like that. So if you want to talk about a very early detection, then that's the way to go.
Wow. That's amazing.
Probably, well, yeah, most people are not aware of that, and that's part of my passion and my mission and my message is to let women know, even when they've been told that they're quote-unquote cancer-free, just because you can't see it on a PET scan or, you know, they've had surgery and the margins are clear, you've got to make sure that you don't have circulating tumor cells in the blood and in the lymphatic system. That's when you're really cancer-free. And so there's, you know, there's technology and there's blood tests that show us, you know, if there's in fact cancer that's still there. And, you know, you see that, well, I've seen that time and time again. They've been told they were cancer-free, and then 5 years later, it's in the brain or it's in the spine or, you know, the lungs, and, you know, they thought they were cancer-free.
Now, in your journey, do you ever see a need for the kinds of traditional therapies that are used? Or when you were working with your own self, did you use these seven essentials only, or did you combine it with other things?
For me personally, I did nothing traditional. I did everything non-traditional, natural-based evidence medicine is what I used. But I'm glad you brought that up because I'm not against traditional medicine and I'm not against chemotherapy if it's done in the proper way. There's a test that you can do called the GREET test, which will tell you exactly what chemotherapies work best for you, as well as which natural extracts work best for you and the type of cancer that you have. And then you can use something called IPT. It's insulin potentiating therapy. It's only 10% of the chemotherapy that's used because they use it with insulin and blood sugar, and that way the cancer cells can absorb the chemotherapy much more easily. And so I work with women all over the world. Some of them are doing traditional medicine, and they want to support their body with natural substances while they're going through that. I work with women who just want to do natural substances. So, you know, it's a mixture of both. And no matter what your choice is, I honor and respect that, and I'm going to support you whichever way you need to go.
And, you know, looking at it from a perspective, this is your life. And I guess I'm going to throw one of these real, you know, comments out there in terms of insurance and people being able to afford some of these things. Are they covered by insurance, or are they maybe affordable that people can still do some of these tests that you speak about?
Well, some of the tests I speak about range anywhere from $300 up to $2,500, you know, depending which test you want to do. Some of them, one of them may be covered by insurance. And more, you know, we're seeing, you know, insurance companies are starting to recognize these things because it's in their best interest if they can help somebody detect cancer at an earlier stage than waiting until they're, you know, stage 3 and 4, and it's going to cost them a whole lot more in other tests and chemotherapy and drug therapy.
Well, that does make sense. So I just kind of wondered where insurance was sitting with that. People are very concerned about that.
Right, right.
And, you know, as we talk through this, I think our listeners would love to hear some stories, if you have any stories you can share about fascinating cases or healing journeys. And I know it's a very private matter, but if in general, if you could tell us some, you know, some interesting things you've come across in your teaching, coaching, and in your medical experience.
Oh, sure. There's many, many stories. You know, some women don't want to share their picture, share their story, because it's, you know, it's a private matter. But the ones that I've shared, and you can go to my website and look at, you know, I've got many, many testimonials on there. But one of my first clients, see, I only started doing this about 4 years ago when I, quote unquote, retired in 2010. I just, you know, I started sharing my story with my personal healing journey, and, you know, more and more people kept telling me, you know, you need to have a website, you need to help other women. And so in 2012, I, you know, launched a website, and here I am, you know, 19 countries later that I've, you know, talked to women. And but my first client was somebody in Slovakia, and I didn't even know that country existed. And, you know, she followed the seven essentials, and she's now, you know, cancer-free. She did great, and she's now teaching the seven essentials in that area of the world in her language. Another woman from Kansas, she was doing traditional, and she also did natural, and she was, after several months of working together, she was declared cancer-free. Another woman in Australia, same thing, no radiation, no chemo. Woman in Chicago who actually wanted to get pregnant, but she found out she had breast cancer, and we worked together rather closely. About 3 months later, you know, she was cancer-free, and she got pregnant and breastfed her baby, and she said, "Dr. V gave me a gift." So, you know, that was really sweet to know that she could, you know, breastfeed and mm-hmm. not have to worry about breast cancer. You know, I've worked with men with prostate cancer. Prostate cancer is very similar to breast cancer. You know, it can be hormone-driven, and it's the same principles. You know, clean up your body and get rid of the excess estrogens from your environment, and creams and lotions and potions, and follow the seven essentials, and you get better. So, I mean, the list can go on and on, but, yeah, we've had many success stories in following the seven essentials.
Oh, wonderful. Well, we'll talk about your website when we do wrap up. And kind of when I think about my questions, kind of to connect it to the positive and happiness and well-being, you know, if you're walking through this journey and you have found yourself with, like you say, dis-ease, in terms of having, like, the right support network, you've talked about meditation, you've talked about doing what you need to do to take care of yourself mentally, but what are the must-haves? I mean, I know you really should have a support network around you. Can you talk about that and maybe the must-haves and must-not-dos and that kind of thing as we wrap this up to put us in the best mental state of mind?
That's a very, very important part of it, the community. You know, communication and community is so important when it comes to, you know, having support from other women. And that's one of the things I've tried to create with, you know, my website and a retreat that I hold once a year called the Healing Diva Retreat. And it really, you know, it connects women that are on the same path, that are, you know, understand that what it's like to, you know, take the supplements or, you know, do their chemotherapy or, you know, coffee enemas and the juicing and all these things. And so, you know, they've made lifetime friends through this communication and through this community. And, you know, that's why I do what I do. You know, I blog every week, I'm on Facebook, just so women can find each other and know that other women have done this, they've gone before them, and they can, you know, you can heal if you, you know, change your lifestyle and apply the seven essentials and really believe that your body can heal. I mean, that's, you know, goes back to happiness and essential number four. Belief and conviction is a huge part of the healing process.
Mm-hmm. And the people around you that you choose to have around you, yes. It's important in every part of life, but particularly here, you know, you've really got to have your medical staff, your friends, your family, your everyone sort of as they walk through the journey with you, they have to support the path that you're taking. Mm-hmm. I would think they'd need to, because you've got to, you can't be fighting people. I mean, you've really got to say, this is the way I feel that it's best for me. And you've got to have those people come along on board with you and be there for you.
Absolutely. You know, and husbands or partners that are there and supportive, that's a huge gift. Because if your partner is not on board with you, it can be a very lonely journey.
Definitely. Or having just some support network. I mean, I think there's lots of them for cancer, mm-hmm. you know, these days that you can find people who will be with you and move along, you know, through it with you. You know, being happy is a kind of a loaded word, because not that you necessarily, you know, feel joy, you know, although I think people can feel joy no matter what they're going through, because everything is a learning experience. I think some of us even feel guilty when we say we feel joy when, you know, we should be feeling another emotion. But if you're in the mindset that I know what this is, I know what's happened, as you talked about earlier in the show, now this is my learning experience to walk through and keep going and be able mm-hmm, to go to another mm-hmm. level. Because I'm sure when you walk through these journeys with other people and yourself, your dad, you have probably learned more than you can even imagine walking through those journeys, that without that information, you wouldn't be able to do the next thing that you do.
That's so true. I mean, my healing journey was a huge learning curve for me in so many ways. And, you know, if somebody would have told me 10 years later I'd have a website and I've coached women in 19 countries, and, you know, I never would have believed it. But it's just progressively kind of organically morphed to that situation. You know, I've written a book called Heal Breast Cancer Naturally and was a number one bestseller on Amazon. And, you know, it's just all these things. The message is such an important one, and there's such a need for it. And doing what we do, like when you mentioned about your show, you know, you love what you do. It's the same thing. You know, I love what I do. I do what I love. And it shows by the, you know, the interest that we have and the results that we get in the work we do.
Right. And seek out, you know, what you need. For me, I'm a reader. Whenever I need to go within myself, I love to read. Mm-hmm. I love to walk. You know, whatever those things that you love to do, to make sure that you're doing them, to make sure that you know, sometimes our happiness level, you know, between 1 and 10, 1 being the lowest, 10 being the best, sometimes you have days where they're at a 2. And I always say, if you can get to a 4, that might be what you need to do today. You know, if you can get it to a 4, take some deep breaths, you know, feel better than you did. Sometimes that happens, and that's okay too. I mean, sometimes what they say in positive psychology is times people are stressing out about not being happy enough. For goodness sake, that's the polar opposite of what we're supposed to be doing here. So, you know, if there's stress about happiness, you don't do it. You just live the thoughts and principles around what you can do to feel better, and you pick the ones that work for you, like anything in life, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but I would understand what would come along with this, because it is the fear, you know, that comes often initially. You know, you have to walk through that, and you have to get to people like you so people can get a grip on, you know, what's happening and say, oh, you know, this is part of my journey, and this is, you know, and I'm going to do what I need to do here. So, well, this is just wonderful information. I do want to let people know, let our guests know, excuse me, our listeners know, that you can pick up Dr. V's number one best-selling book on Amazon, Heal Breast Cancer Naturally, 7 Essentials to Prevent and Heal Breast Cancer Naturally. Your website and your personal healing journey have touched the lives of thousands of women around the globe, as you told us some of those stories. I have a couple of websites from you. I've got breastcancerconqueror.com, and I've got healbreastcancernaturally.org. And Dr. V, did you want to mention a few things about coaching you mentioned, or anything you've got coming up?
Yes. You know, a lot of women are searching for, you know, that one-on-one connection. And I do, you know, coaching with women that I call proactive patties, you know, women that are looking to prevent and you know, heal, you know, just prevent cancer. Then there's the surviving Susies, the women who've had cancer and want to make sure that they don't ever get it again. And then there's the healing Hannahs, the ones that are actually on the healing journey. So, you know, there's kind of different categories and different tools that we use for each one. And I also have a certified 7 Essentials coach who is a registered nurse who's trained with me, and she also takes clients because I can't, there's one of me and many of you, so I now have help, which is great. And so you can just go to the website, breastcancerconqueror.com, and just look for the coaching tab, and it'll give you all the information that you need.
Great. Well, this has been wonderful information, and I think will help so many people, Dr. V. And I thank you for being with us today on the Happiness Hangout.
I appreciate it, Lori. Thanks for sharing my message of hope.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye. Want to find a space to participate in reading, activities, interactive blog, and much more? Check out www.happinesshangout.net. Looking for a speaker or workshop around the area of happiness? We customize presentations to fit your needs. Just click on the My Services tab at the website. You can also support the site by shopping at Amazon or one of our other affiliates. Just go to www.happinesshangout.net and click on the shopping link or go to my page here at BBS Radio.